I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Capital One Cup Final Review Show. That's right, it's a Capital One Cup Final. It's finished, it's done with. Absolutely it is.
Fat lady's sung, Marcus.
Yes, indeed, she has. She bellowed out a wonderful tune at Wembley. But of course it is the Football Ramble in association with Capital One. The credit card that supports the supporters, gentlemen. One thing that we all liked seeing on Twitter certainly was Jordan Henderson. He was seen at Wembley sitting in the Sunderland end. Mm. There was a couple of photos with him. There was one with a selfie with the fan who was sat next to him, which would be a lovely surprise.
I didn't see that one. I just saw the one of him. It almost, he looked like he was sort of half in disguise.
It was kind of like Assassin's Creed.
Was he on his own?
I think by the looks of it.
He was on his own, didn't he?
Which shows what a fan he is.
Yeah, indeed.
Was he like Aaron Paul in Breaking Bad, where he's just always got his hood up?
Super fan.
Yeah.
Aaron Paul loves Breaking Bad so much. I think Aaron Paul put a tweet out the other week saying, "Does anyone want to do the Breaking Bad tour with me?" You were in it. You're never going to get a better experience than that. You were actually one of the principal characters in it.
We would have got a better experience than that if he was at Wembley.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, he would have
on Sunday for the cup final. But anyway, if you could sit next to anyone from the world of football during a football match, who would it be? Luke?
Me first?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wasn't expecting that.
No, you weren't, were you?
I'm going to go for a rather obvious answer, but yes. I think people will... will enjoy it.
Yep.
I'll go for Roy Keane.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I think if I got Roy Keane, let me explain my reasoning. If I got Roy Keane on a good day, I think he'd be really insightful. He'd have a lot of stories.
Yeah.
He would call the game really well to you.
Yeah,
and maybe if you started pointing out a few observations, he might say, "Well, actually," because he knows his onions, obviously. But if I got him on a bad day, that'd be even better because there would be someone behind chipping off.
Yeah.
He'd turn around.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you guys saw, but apparently earlier in the week, it went on the internet.
That selfie.
Viral.
selfie.
Do you know about this?
What was that one?
Someone asked for a photo with Roy Keane.
Oh, I did, yes.
And the outcome is... Well, for those listeners who haven't seen it, the outcome of that is basically a guy there looking pleased with Roy Keane looking moody. And the story goes that apparently he asked for a photo and Keane sort of mumbled something. And he got his camera out and put his arm around him. And Roy
Keane, you always do, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Get in the shot. And Roy Keane went, "There's no need for that." When he tried to put his arm around, there's no need for that.
Yeah.
So I would go Roy Keane. It's the sort of thing where if I met Joe Pesci, for example, and he sort of punched me, I'd be quite pleased.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
And it's the same with Roy Keane.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily really want him to be a good bloke, but if he was, it would be enjoyable anyway.
Yeah, of course. But we all enjoy good blokes.
We do, indeed. And, ironically.
In varying degrees and levels. Pete, what would you go for?
I would probably go for either Georgie Kinkladze or Janino, because there'd just be so much elbow room. Or I could also go for Not Marcus at any football match, because...
Not me.
Over the weekend.
No, go on then.
You insisted on making a point that everybody around me in the Sunderland end knew that I was a Newcastle fan.
Not quite true.
Could I just say at this juncture, I enjoyed that.
And at one point, you got really close to a woman's face when you were talking to her. Did you hug a woman?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
When the goal went in.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've never done it before, a football match.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, it's funny how it started now, isn't it?
I also enjoy good women as well as good blokes. Yeah. Okay. Don't have a go at us who are ambidextrous. It was the atmosphere.
It was
the atmosphere. You get taken away by the joys of football.
Yeah.
So anyone but me.
Tell it to the judge.
Anyone but Marcus Speller. That's what I'm going for.
That's harsh.
That is very harsh.
I like the rationale behind your Kinkladze/Janino. When I worked at a sports shop when I was about 16, I might have told the story before, but I'll tell it again.
Yeah.
It's never stopped you before.
Yeah. We used to provide mail order football boots to a lot of Premier League clubs.
Yeah.
Mm. And it was around the time, I think, when Janino was at Middlesbrough. And he had like astonishingly small feet.
Yeah,
I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like 4 or 5 or something.
Right.
Really small feet.
Wow. He didn't score many from outside the area, as I recall.
Didn't need to.
Yeah.
Actually, no, he did. They went down.
Yeah,
that would help Middlesbrough greatly. Okay.
Sorry, you suggesting that people with small feet can't kick the ball very far?
Well, I can't kick the ball very far. I've got it.
That is a sample size of one.
I've got size 8s as well, Peter.
Have you? Okay. Well, maybe.
Differing fortunes on the field of play.
Maybe it's all about the legs.
And in the stands, it would appear. As well. Football loves me and hates you, Donaldson.
It's good. No, all right, I'll take that. It's
as
fine.
A fan told you outside the ground, didn't he?
Yes, and the fan said, I hate you, Pete.
He also told us that he thought we'd look differently, and I thought, well, you recognised us.
Doesn't make any sense.
Wonderful.
Doesn't make any sense. I would go for Barry Davis.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, that would be lovely. Soothing.
Talk me through the game.
Would you get to know him and chat to him like a friend, or would you say to him, look, just come and take?
Yeah, I know what you mean. That would be the only dilemma. But again, either way, you'd be happy. Yeah.
Get me a Bovrob, Marcus.
Okay, Barry, as long as you come with me.
Yeah.
We're going up the stairs. it's £8.50.
Yeah. What a contrast to the previous price.
Yeah, marvellous. I think I've got the points, haven't I?
Yeah, well, you did just say, review your answer as marvellous, so yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to get them for anyone but me.
Yeah, he's probably...
I mean, Roy Keane was a good answer, but Barry Davis.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's a trump card, isn't it?
I don't mind.
Yeah, nobody minds. We were at the Capital One Cup final, and it was a wonderful affair. Well, for the neutral, I suppose. I mean, not if you're a Sunderland fan, although they did have a good time. They got beaten 3-1, in case you've not seen the television or the radio for the last couple of days.
In case you're relying on us for news, which in itself is terrifying.
A sorry state of affairs. Yeah. It was a great final. A really, really great final.
We've totally glossed over the fact that Jim isn't here, haven't we?
No Jim this week.
Yeah.
He wasn't at the final anyway.
Yeah.
So we banned him.
Not allowed.
He's away. He's away somewhere.
Yeah.
Less interesting. We've got to start at the beginning when we arrived, and
the flying woman.
Yeah, I mean, we only saw a glimpse of it on the highlights on the television.
Oh, did you not see the full thing?
You saw a glimpse.
So there was a flying woman. It was floating around, supported only by a balloon. It was really exciting. I'm not really sure what it was about. It was really exciting. There was a massive facsimile of the Capital One Cup.
Which sort of opened up
and smoke came out and there was fire and everything. And then the lady swooped down gymnastically and picked up the Capital One Cup and started waving.
At which
around.
Point someone about three rows back shouted, "Bring it back!" he was the only one that had spotted that she was somehow stealing it,
even though
she was about 50 foot in the air, suspended under a helium balloon.
Not
the perfect crime, is it?
Did he think it was like a pantomime or something?
I think he'd had one or two.
Yeah.
Of the finest alcoholic beverages that Wembley's got to offer.
Well, as the lovely chap sitting next to me said, you know, how do you pitch that?
Indeed, to the
sponsors. I've got an idea. Let's get a woman, dress her in all in white, tight white number.
Silver. It was a silver
because
it reflects the cup itself.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you fly around float around the pitch. They had a massive. The trophy itself.
Yes, the reproduction of the trophy. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm trying to get out. Which Luke and I thought that the team should have to get in that. The winning team would have to get in that and sort of bounce around.
I thought. My first impression upon seeing that was, God, it's much bigger in real life.
Hey!
How they get closer to it?
They're going to drop that, I understand.
Yeah.
But that kind of split open, didn't it? And then the cup was inside.
Yeah.
Which looked tiny.
Yeah,
exactly. You've ruined that a bit.
Imagine I've got a big magnifying glass.
Yeah,
it was really good. And all the way through the flying woman, I was thinking, if they just let go of her, she would just float away, wouldn't
she?
Because it's holding her up. So presumably, if you let go of her,
she'd have the cup though, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She'd be like, you're not getting this.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't drop it. That'd be ballast. You'd be like, if you need it.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, the mind boggles simply. But when she landed...
I thought it was an excellent operation to remove everything in time for kickoff. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, and I thought, hang on a minute, don't panic here.
But as soon as the cup is handed over to a military man, you know that everybody means business.
Yeah.
As soon as you see the military man, here we go. But yeah, when she landed, the kickoff did happen. And both sets of fans were very good voice, especially the Sunderland ones. But
I thought the Sunderland fans were brilliant.
They were.
Like, from the... St- the start to the end, they were fantastic.
Before the day, they took over Covent Garden in the centre of London.
Yeah.
Much to the annoyance of a certain Tory MP. Did you hear about that?
I
absolutely love this. It's not quite Covent Garden, but one of my favourite mixes in life is the Tube, the underground railway system in London, and people generally from outside London, specifically the north and the Midlands of England. Because the Tube is quite a very passive place. People keep themselves to themselves. You've got a city of over 9 million people, so people rushing around, they just keep out of everybody's way. But when the likes of Sunderland or Manchester City fans from outside the capital turn up, they're full of joy. It brings a lot of joy to the Tube, and a lot of Londoners just don't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
There were Sunderland fans saying, well, London has taken a lot of sad pills, don't they? All this sort of stuff. I thought it was quite good.
I mean, let's point out that Sunderland do have an underground train network as well.
Well, OK.
To Newcastle and back, I guess.
Oh, I didn't know that. Right? Yeah. Well, it must be a lovely affair there. They've certainly not let it dampen their spirits like Londoners have, you know. But the Sunderland fans, we're in great voice.
I thought the Sunderland fans were in better voice than the City fans, in my experience.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember hearing the first sort of rendition of Blue Moon until quite late on in the first half.
Yeah.
The Sunderland fans, of course, the goal helped, and we'll come on to that in a minute, but and it may have helped that we were in the Sunderland then. But the last time I was at Wembley would have been for the Champions League final, and I was very aware that both Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund fans were really noisy. Like,
yeah.
And even though I was right behind the Bayern goal,
yeah,
I could still hear the Dortmund fans as well. So for me, I think certainly in the first half, although City fans obviously perked up in the second half,
yeah,
the first half was all Sunderland in terms of on the pitch and in the stands as well.
Yeah. It was one of the...
That's only half a story.
And that's another story of Marcus being naughty, because he made me do the Poznan at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he forced me to do the Poznan. He said, you're going to look like a Newcastle fan if you don't do the Poznan.
Well, you would have done. With that magpie on your shoulder.
You would have stood out like a sore thumb in your Newcastle full kit, which I told you not to wear.
Full goalkeeper kit as well. Yeah.
With Cernicek on the back.
I was dressed like Alan Pardew, I'll have you know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because the game started, and Sunderland, I mean, they were pretty good throughout, actually, to be fair.
I thought the first half especially, they were excellent.
Done the homework.
I was so impressed with
Catamol
especially. He's way organised the back four and was really amongst it. He almost reminded me of a military commander.
Yeah.
Where he's up and down the line, pointing out, clapping, encouraging, getting people in the right position.
Shirt very tucked in.
Yeah, like he meant business.
It was
business.
Very high, wasn't it? It was very high.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. Whenever I watch Sunderland play, that's the first time I've seen Catamol play in the flesh. And I have to say, I've got a whole new load of respect for him, actually, watching him, especially in the first half. He was superb. But whenever you watch Sunderland on telly, the way you can point out Catamol is the shorts. He pulls the shorts up so high. It's like Stuart Pearce.
Didn't Sung Young kick a ball at him just before the...
Key did, yeah. Yeah,
okay.
And it almost hit him in the face, didn't it? Yeah. I thought the Catamol short situation reminds me very much. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but Stuart Pearce was reveling in the fashion in the late 80s and early 90s of the really short shorts.
Yeah.
But then towards the mid 90s, it became fashionable to wear sort of baggy shorts,
right,
didn't it? So then he would like roll them up about three or four
them,
times, to keep
them
short.
Yeah. Pete made an excellent point, which could be
disagree.
Already disagree.
No.
Disagree.
No, I think you'll actually agree with this. Is Lee Catamol, said Pete Donaldson, the only man in the Premier League to have two animals in his name?
It's actually me who said that.
Luke said that.
Oh, was it Luke? Yeah,
I said that, and Pete replied straight away with Johnny Horsefish, which I don't think is a player.
Fish isn't even an animal.
No, sort of is.
Sort of is.
Yeah. To be fair to Pete, he did come back with Elk Mohammedir.
Yeah.
After that, which
that's
is not
all right,
bad.
That works.
Not too bad, yeah.
A little bit better.
Yeah.
Adding a K and an E.
Make your own ones up.
We had a few on Twitter, actually, but I didn't know you were going to mention it, so I didn't look at them.
Oh, did you not? Yeah. Oh, not so bad.
Well done to all those who tweeted.
They were all top class.
Well, bloody done. Sunderland started very well, and of course, they got the goal.
Yeah.
Barini,
lovely
who's
finish.
Who's a big hero to the Sunderland fans, but many chants about him. Great finish with the outside of the boot. He breached
lovely.
Company and Di Michaelis.
He did that two or three times.
Yeah.
I think the second time was possibly even an easier chance than the one he actually received, because
if
he had just taken it on his left, because he just did not want to take that ball on his left, and he got tackled in the end by, I think, Company.
Well, that's at 1-0.
Yeah.
He's through on goal, and Company did a brilliant recovery.
One of the things about the first half was just how at it Sunderland were.
Yeah.
They were so well drilled. Mm. They knew City would have a lot of the ball. They knew they'd have to do a lot of defending. They did that. I mean, only made saves when he had to. It had the feeling, especially towards the end of the first half, it had the feeling of it's not going to be City's afternoon. And it had that feeling against Wigan in the FA Cup last season.
That's right.
And they've done ever so well to turn it around because Sunderland looked. And I sort of. The only thing was you're thinking that they might get a bit tired, which they sort of did a little bit. But Sunderland were first to everything now. Really strong.
Like Shane Brown at the back.
Very strong.
Dimmitt Careless was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
as is his wont recently. I thought, you know, there was times when Pantaleon was just. Like, for no reason. He could have just caught the ball. He was just punching it over his own bar.
Yeah.
It was when Key smashed the ball in, I thought, why did you palm that? Ouch. Yeah. He could have just easily caught it.
That shot, he seemed to see very late.
Yeah.
He seemed to not really... It was from miles out, obviously. It seemed to not be aware of what was going on. Mm. He came to very late and he parried it over the bar. At that point, I remember seeing saying to one of you boys, I was sort of seeing Key pick the ball up a couple of times, thinking, shoot it. Shoot.
Because well, that was more into the second half, I think.
Indeed.
I mean, Key looked great, didn't he? He looked as though he was controlling it.
I was delighted for Key because in the League Cup final last season... He had to play centre-back for Swansea, didn't he, in the Capital One Cup last season? And so it's great to see him playing his preferred position this time out.
Yeah,
shame he couldn't get a win.
There was another opportunity when Johnson had the ball in a promising area in the box. Actually, from the angle where we were, we thought he should have shot, but in the replays, a cross would have been better.
But he still looked like he was in two minds, and he still didn't really know what he was doing, and he just overran it. It was just, oh, God.
I mean, there were a couple... like you say, the Barini one and then that one, there were a couple of moments where Sunderland, they could have been 2-0 up.
Well, actually, I did get the feeling that if they did go 2-0 up, Man City would have turned it on a lot earlier, I think.
True.
And I would argue that they didn't really turn it on at all during the entirety of the football match. You know, the players who scored, you know, Nasri was playing very well, but, you know, still didn't really, you know, didn't really have to work that hard.
Yeah.
You know, Torre, from like me and Luke a couple of times went, what is Torre doing? Like, he just looked like a drugged bear.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I've not watched the whole game back, but from where I was sat, the first half I thought Torre was poor. But I mean, everyone said he's mad at the match, and obviously his goal was magnificent. But from where I was sitting, honestly, he looked a little bit slow off the mark, and he looked like he couldn't really get himself going in the first half.
Well, the stats say that no player on either side made more passes than Torre, and no opponent won more duels. Mm. So
I'd be interested to see the first half and second half split in that, though.
Sure, yeah. And his heat map looked fairly impressive, but you're right. From where we were sat, he didn't look as though he was in the game.
Yeah, you've got something where he plays his position is one where you can do a 6-yard pass a lot. You know what I mean?
And that needs to be done.
I understand that definitely.
But there was a number of people. I think okay, maybe we get a little bit used to Touré bursting forward and doing these great things. Yes, he did. I mean, he assisted a goal and scored one of the best goals I've probably ever seen at live football match. So. All right, fair enough.
it just smacked of Letizier for me. It was just like it didn't seem to be interested in the match at all. And then suddenly, all right, I'll smash the ball in from.
It's the best goal I've seen live since Drogba's goal in the cup final.
Oh, that was
against Spurs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
well, it's not as good as Cesar's at Chelsea a couple of seasons.
That was a lovely one.
Yeah,
well, I remember Van Bommel's for the Netherlands against England at White Hart Lane.
Yes,
we've seen some lovely goals,
which was an absolute dinger.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you boys will remember that goal I scored. Anyway.
I just think it was very disappointing from Sunderland's point of view, obviously because they lost the game, but there was that period after half-time.
They were loving it, weren't they? They were having a great time up until the
yeah, of course.
You know.
But that sort of 2-3 minute period, and okay, Touré pulls something out of nothing, which is one of the things you can't legislate for.
Yeah.
And I do think he meant it, even though people are saying he might not have done, but I think he did.
I think he did.
But the... To lose another goal so quickly afterwards in that manner. That was a great finish. It reminded me very much of a goal West Germany scored against the UAE in World Cup 90.
Oh, yeah.
I think a bit of about four. I can't remember who scored it, but it was very similar. Look it up. It's very similar to that. But the reason that was so disappointing is because Sunderland had defended in that manner, in that area of the pitch, very well.
Yeah.
Leading up to that. And they sort of didn't compose themselves properly after the first goal, which would have been a bit of a kick in the teeth. And they just didn't get themselves together. And before they knew it, they were 2-1 down. And it was very difficult after that.
Yeah.
But when they were 2-1 down, Stephen Fletcher had a chance.
Oh.
And he just completely fluffed his lines. He had come on, he'd shaken things up, he looked very sharp.
Yeah.
And he looked like he could bring more players into play and Sunderland could maybe sort of force their way back into it. But that was just a turning point, wasn't it?
But it wasn't even a case of, oh, he missed the chance. We don't know if he'd have missed it.
And I think with bringing Johnson off, I think Luke made the point at the time that, you know, I don't get how badly he's playing. Taking your best deliverer off of the ball. It was a slightly weird kind of...
Especially when you're bringing Fletcher on. Fair enough.
But Gardner came on as well. He can hit a ball.
Yeah, Gardner can deliver balls very well from set pieces, usually.
Johnson's a man in form, though, and obviously he wasn't, you know, he wasn't here then everywhere in that match, but...
Playing against an old club as well.
Yeah. So he'd want to do something, I suppose.
Oh, you never know. Maybe had a little niggle or he was tired or whatever.
He'd have bloody well celebrated. Yeah, but yeah, that Fletcher one where it's just like swing your right foot at it.
Mm. There are plenty of players in that position who would have just had a snapshot.
Yeah, it was such a shame.
I actually thought the goal that killed Sunderland in the last minute.
Navas goal.
Yeah, was a little bit disappointing from Sunderland's point of view as well. I mean, I know they're throwing men forward and it was on the break and they were outnumbered, but Navas didn't really have to do an awful lot. Mm. And the way the ball was split across to him, I thought the defender could have got a lot closer. And also, I mean, the keeper could have done a lot better. I mean, Benoni had a good game and he's having a decent season, really, in general. But
he's having a lot to do.
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, that's his near post. It wasn't a particularly difficult high. Yeah, it didn't strike it that cleanly. I thought he could have done a lot better there, actually.
Yeah. But the noise from the City fans when they scored was quite something, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was.
It was after they scored,
it always is at those big games. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really... When you see... And the great thing about seeing it was that, you know, it obviously met a lot of the fans, met a lot of the players. Both teams had played strong teams. And when you get into a situation where there's 85,000 or whatever there was in the stadium, it's always going to be a really huge roar. And that's why it's great that they chose not to play music when there's a goal.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that's just such a pain in the backside. Because
one of the greatest things
about going to a football game, as anyone who's ever been to one will surely agree, is the roar of the crowd when a goal goes in.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of it. And actually, if you go and see a game and say, I mean, I've been at games where there's been only a handful of away fans and the away team have scored and there's nothing, it feels weird. It sounds really odd. But for them to hijack that huge sort of organic, amazing rush of a roar when a goal goes in, which is the whole point of football, with terrible... And the music is always terrible as well.
Y'all ready for this?
But it's hard to think of what would be a good song in that situation anyway, but they always choose universally terrible ones. And I'm pleased that at Wembley on Sunday there was no music at all when a goal went in, and we get to really appreciate the roar of the crowd.
Yeah. Completely agree.
Well done. Pellegrini was interviewed on the pitch after the match.
That was unfortunate.
And, given his thoughts, he said, I'm very happy, I love the pressure, so I have to manage a big team like Manchester United. Now, he surely means Manchester City are like Manchester United, like a big team, doesn't he?
I think it was just a Freudian slip, and I think it's difficult to get on his back because, you know,
he's not that stupid to think he's actually managing.
He's speaking in a second language.
Yeah.
They've only just won the cup.
Yeah.
He's been accosted for an interview straight away before he's even had a chance to really celebrate. And obviously the occasion got the better of him, but I don't think he should be pilloried for that. I think it was just unfortunate.
Yeah. Provided a little light.
It was also funny. Yeah, it was funny. Of course it was funny.
I think might forget it was very funny.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, marvellous. But yeah, a great cup final and a great way to cap off the cup. But it's been a good tournament, isn't it? I mean, I was looking back over the previous rounds and we've seen West Ham get a hiding, haven't we, on the way there. we saw an incredible, not that it's a good thing, I don't know, against West Ham.
Well, I think it's a testament to how strong Sunderland were yesterday that they didn't get a hiding. And you know, the third goal only came very, very late indeed, and there's a lot more teams that will be put to the side worse than that.
Well, last season, Bradford got a good old-fashioned shellacking, didn't they, at the hands of Swansea. Yeah, so, for me, the best round was the second round. The amount of scores you had in that...
Really?
I mean, we had Southampton beat Barnsley 5-1 away, we had 5-2, Carlisle-Leicester, Derby beat Brentford 5-0, Peterborough beat Reading 6-0. Reading?
Yeah.
Peter's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes, there was quite a good...
I think round four actually tops that. You've got...
Oh, Norwich Bury 6-3. Then let me forget that one.
Okay, I wouldn't dream of it. I wouldn't dream of it. That's why I quickly tried to move on. Round four was Spurs 2, Hull 2. But Spurs won 8-7 on penalties.
That was lovely stuff.
Seldom do you get more than your five takers.
That was lovely stuff.
Birmingham 4, Stoke 4.
Yeah.
Leicester 4, Fulham 3. Manchester United 4, Norwich 0. Which seems quite an archaic result nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to talk to you about Birmingham 4, Stoke 4. Because
of course you do.
Stoke won on penalties, didn't they?
Yeah.
4-2. And it was all to play for. And Stoke went 4-3 up.
Mm.
And the thing that was the thing about that was Stoke went 4-3 up in extra time,
I think
Birmingham had scored in the last minute of normal time. And then they got pegged back. 4-4
lead. 118th minute, I think.
Yeah, and then you think, well, Birmingham got in the ascendancy, so they'll win on penalty, but then Stoke won on penalty.
Yeah.
It's back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
It's not the best penalty shootout in the cup, though, was it? We have to leap back to the semi-finals when Sunderland won 2-1. 2-1! on penalties at Manchester United.
Yeah, it wasn't one for the purists, that one,
and
was it really?
Terrifying penalty shooter in many respects.
Oh, the way some of those players were shaping up to take those penalties, I'll never forget that. And West Ham run Man City close on the other side, didn't they?
Yeah. I think
nearly
9-0 on aggregate, which is, I don't care what anyone says, that is a record.
On Wembley Way, they had like on one side, you know, the tunnel that sort of leads from is it Wembley Park Tube?
Wembley Park Tube, yeah.
It was like the how Man City got to the final and how Sunderland got to the final, and one of the ones that was the
spray painted on.
Yeah. Well, not
artistically, sorry.
It's a big sheet, isn't it?
Big vinyl
sheet.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
You're not spray painting.
Yeah, it's like a bit of graffiti for the lads. Yeah, sorry.
Banksy. one of my favourite matches from this year's Capital One Cup was Sunderland MK Dons, which was, I think, it was the second round.
What was that
the first
one?
Time.
I remember that.
It was MK Dons were 2-0 up at the Stadium of Light, 55 minutes in. McLeod scores, and then...
It's in the second round again.
Yeah, Altidore scores in 78th, Wickham with two in 87th and 89th, and then Johnson 90th minute. It's just like complete turnaround within 10 minutes.
All the way to the final.
Exactly. Yeah. Insane. MK
Dons could have changed the course of history.
Four goals in the last 12 minutes.
I'm delighted that Gus Poyet has not made me look stupid, because earlier in the season I said I think he's a bit of a cup manager, and he has proven that. Obviously they've not won, but they got to the final at least. Mm. So yeah, that's not too bad.
Oh, he can whistle, can't he?
Yeah.
I could hear him over everybody doing
the other side of the pitch as well.
You made what I thought was quite a pedestrian point, actually, Peter, without money. You said, why is he whistling? I said, because obviously it could be heard easier. And you went, yeah, when you shout, you can't hear him. And I should have said to you, yeah, but the players are much closer, because we're right over the other side of the stadium. The players
but
are on the
some
pitch.
Players are quite close to where we were standing. And if he shouted, I would argue that his voice would not carry. After he does the whistling, unless he's got a really precise way of whistling, how can he possibly, these footballers, who probably aren't the brightest lot, because they're footballers, they've probably got... They're not going to be figuring out some kind of Morse code of his whistling.
I'm pleased now, because I know that you shared that pedestrian point, and other listeners know as well. And it's not just me that's heard. I had to sit through that. They've had to as well.
All right, what does this mean? Nothing.
It means you're stupid.
It means nothing. It means nothing. But if he's shouting, oi, Wickham, go over there, and he go.
And Wickham were like, I'm not on the pitch.
Am I coming on or not? I thought I was out alone. But he could do the whistle and do the hand movements that they do.
Yeah, I think the whistle is to get their attention. I don't know, tell them.
I just didn't think anybody was looking at him or listening.
Three whistles means switch. Yeah. All right, four whistles. Yeah.
Then the gladiators go on your second whistle.
We always do really good tactics on this show. I think. We're good on tactics. I think we're strong.
It's one of our stronger points, I would say. One of the goals for me of the cup was Kolarov's free kick away to Leicester City.
Beauty.
If I'm right in saying. Yeah, curler into the top corner.
At the time we were saying that was an absolute beauty.
Absolute dinger. But Yaya Toure probably saved the best goal for the tournament in the final.
And that's good.
It is good, isn't it?
Because I think sometimes in finals, whatever the competition, you do tend to get a little bit... sort of nerves creeping in, and people rather don't want to give things away rather than going out and win things. And the best thing really, I mean, I know Sunderland fans won't feel it this way, but the best thing that could have happened was Sunderland scored. And the fact that Sunderland scored meant that City had to come out and really butt their ideas up. And they did that, and it was good for the final. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I've always thought, and it may not be the case more recently, but I've always thought traditionally the playoff final is normally a better occasion than the FA Cup final.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
It seems to be more entertaining for some reason. I think in the FA Cup final, people don't want to give things away. They want to try and win at all costs. Mm. And it's great to see throughout this tournament, there have been good games, good goals, and teams have actually gone out to win it, and that's encouraging.
Well, City have had big results every round. I mean, 5-0 Wigan, 2-0 away to Newcastle, despite Newcastle playing pretty well in that game. And then 3-1 away to Leicester, and then of course hammered West Ham in the semis, and then scored three in the final.
Mm. Well, the Newcastle game was an interesting one. I remember watching that, and I don't think it could have gone either way, really.
It was a turning point, wasn't it, for a Newcastle season?
Well, I know that Man City took some extra time before they scored the first goal, and they obviously sealed it in later on with Dzeko.
And Newcastle having a torrid time at that point. It really did kind of turn their fortunes around a little bit. Yeah. They looked like they wanted it.
It would have been interesting, wouldn't it, if Manchester United had gone through, which could have so easily done. because the way the Sunderland fans were, it is so nice to see a team who are not used to going to Wembley, being so excited and so up for the big occasion, you know, fan-wise and player-wise. If Manchester United had gone, would they have seen it as a distraction? Would they have seen it as, oh, blimey, we're going to get battered by our neighbours in front of a massive packed stadium in Wembley? Or would they have upped it? I mean, I think people were maybe disappointed that Manchester United, it wasn't an all-Manchester final, but I think the way it worked out was possibly even better. I mean, you can.
I thought Sunderland brought a heck of a lot to this tournament and indeed the final. I thought their fans were brilliant. In and around the stadium.
Well, it's true though. Cheesy chips down Wembley Way.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand the origins of that chant. And I thought that was just a localised chant, and I saw people with T-shirts and flags and all sorts.
One of the Sunderland fans explained it to me. There was, I think it's like the way they say it, and then Newcastle fans, there's something to do with the way they say cheese, and then they had a lot of cheesy chips.
Just so you don't know.
Yeah, I think that's basically
wonderful.
It,
that gentlemen. Went well.
But we knew Man City were going to go through the semi, and you're right on what you say.
I'm angry. It was explained to me, and I can't quite remember.
Just to expound that is that if they had played against Manchester United, that would have been great for obvious reasons. But at the same time, don't want to patronise Sunderland, but it was their first visit to Wembley, the new Wembley. And, you know, it was great.
Was it the first time?
I think it's their first visit to new Wembley, I think I'm right in saying, yeah.
I did a hearty guffaw at a man with a Sunderland shirt that he'd written on himself in pen on the back saying 3-0, the Newcastle score, obviously. 3-0, we kicked their ass on St James's grass. That's a grown man, probably a grandfather. We kicked their ass on St James's grass.
Yeah, again, if you, like we said before, with grow those Mourinho banners on the first day.
They're not banners. They're just A4 pieces of paper.
Yeah, true. Yeah. If you walked into your father or grandfather...
Making
that on the back of the shirt. What are you writing there, Dad? Please stop doing that.
Might be on 10, I've got to go to school, man, mate.
Mum might see that.
Yeah.
You know?
When you're gone, that'll be one of my memories of you with the glitter everywhere.
I don't want you to go through a divorce. Please.
Yeah.
Just get rid of that. So we'll get you a new one. And we'll get you some cheesy chips as well. How about that? So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. The Capital One Cup there. Marvellous stuff. We've enjoyed it, haven't we? And it was great to be at the final.
It's great to be a part of it. Great to feel like we've been a part
of it. Like we scored one of those goals.
Influence in the game.
We are.
Influence in the game.
Passion for the game is passion for the game.
Marvellous. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That is the Capital One Cup for another year. We look forward to it to next season. Of course, the Football Ramble in association with Capital One, the credit card that supports the supporters. Luke, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Pete, say goodbye.
Goodbye, Marcus, and the Capital One Cup.
And it's goodbye from me too.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.